Galatians chapter number 4. Galatians chapter number 4. As we begin our Christmas season here at Faith Baptist Church, we're going to look at a question this morning. The question we're going to ask this morning is, what if Jesus had never came? And we've mentioned this before in other messages in the past, but I think it's a good thing to kick off your Christmas season to help you understand that we have so much to be thankful for. And when we consider what the repercussions or what it would be like if Jesus never came, and we consider the reasons why Jesus came, I think we could rejoice in the fact that he came. And we can also recognize the power that we have to be able to make a difference in people's lives. You say, what's the big deal? What's the big deal if Jesus never came? There's so much that would change in our world if our Savior had never came. It brings me to my thought, and I was thinking about that Christmas classic. I don't talk much about TV, you know, and illustrations, but there is a movie called It's a Wonderful Life. Probably most people have seen that. It talks about a man named George Bailey. Now, George Bailey, in this story, he was considering committing suicide because he felt like he was worthless and that he had never made a difference in his life. Then with the help of an angel, second-class Clarence Oddbody, and I know it's not theologically correct, I get that, but the idea of the story here, this angel helps him see and review what his life would have been if he had never come. He talked about how he saved his brother's life, and how he also helped put many people in houses, and how that the whole town would have changed if he had never had came. And anyone who has ever watched the film can recall how George Bailey, in the quaint town of Bedford Falls, is reduced to Pottersville. It's a creepy place. Main Street suddenly becomes a red light district with loud music and flashing and flesh-peddling neon signs. This little quaint town that used to celebrate Christmas becomes very dark, all because George had never been born. And I know that story is not something that is real. I get that. But it makes me wonder how much a difference one person can make. One person can make an enormous, humongous difference in the lives of others. And we even go a step farther and forget about what we can do and think about the difference that Jesus Christ made. I mean, when he came, he gave hope to the hopeless. When he came, he gave us an opportunity to be able to know him and develop a personal relationship with him, an opportunity to be free from our penalty of sin and be able to go to heaven. Man, and the millions upon millions upon millions that have had their lives changed just because Jesus Christ came. Look here in Galatians chapter number 4. Just going to look at a couple quick verses here and dive into our message. Galatians chapter number 4, verse number 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We see this just little passages of scripture, verse number 4 once again, but when the fullness of time was come. It's talking about that in God's calendar, in God's timing, that the birth of Christ had been established from eons ago. And when that moment in time came, Jesus Christ came to this world. Here's the thought. So what if he would have never came? Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to come to your house. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. And Lord, I know that we're trying to keep our focus on you this Christmas season. And Lord, I pray that today gives us a time and opportunity just to rejoice because of the fact that you did come, because of the fact of what you provided for us. Lord, speak to people's hearts. Lord, help them to understand the truth of the gospel. Help them to see you and see what you did for them when you came. And help us to celebrate this Christmas, not with their eyes being focused on the things and the circumstances and the gifts and the presents and the decorations, but instead our eyes focused on you, the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So what if he would have never came? What is really the big deal about that? Well, I began thinking and praying and meditating, trying to understand what the world would be like if Jesus Christ had never come. And I thought probably one of the worst times that the world is in horrible shape was found in the book of Genesis, back in Genesis chapter number 6. I want you to take your Bibles with me. I don't think it should take you long to find it because Genesis is the first book of the Bible. So Genesis chapter number 6, I want you to see what the world was like right before God destroyed the world with a flood. Of all the different people in the world, there was one family that was willing to be saved by God. So and my thought process there is that there was one family that was really truly believing and one that found grace in the eyes of God. So the rest of the world would be as if they did not believe in God. Let's look here in Genesis chapter number 6. I guess I want to give you a description and think about the repercussions if Christ had never come. The repercussions if Christ had never come. I believe the world would be like this, actually even worse. Chapter 6, verse number 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Wow. That is man's thought, completely evil continually. Verse number 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. If we review what the world would be like if Christ had never come, I think this would give us a reason to rejoice. I use the word repercussion because it's a remote or indirect consequences of some action. The reason why there is good things in the world today was because Jesus Christ came. The reasons why there is so much good in our world today is because Jesus Christ came. But you look at verse number 5 again. It says, wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Verse number 13, it says, for the earth was filled with violence through them. I want you to imagine what the world would be like if Jesus Christ never came. Dr. Don Siss had written this little article, 12 different things. If Christ had not come, we would not have Christians. No celebration of the Savior and cherished time with family. If Christ wouldn't, we would not have Christmas. There would be no celebration of the Savior and cherished time with the family. If Christ had not come, we would have never heard of the Christians who influenced the world. Imagine never hearing of Paul. He would have remained a cruel Pharisee. Imagine Peter, James, and John would have died a simple fisherman. Mary would have been the wife of a carpenter, but nothing more. Thousands of pastors and missionaries, including your own, would be unknown to the most, and the ministry of their blessing and comfort to thousands unfulfilled. There would be no churches. Can you imagine a city, a country, a world, without a single church for fellowship, restoration, and worship? If Christ had not come, there would be no New Testament. You know how we always love to lean towards the New Testament? Imagine if there was no New Testament. The scriptures would be promises unfulfilled, the mystery of the church unrevealed, the joy of the new covenant unknown. Your sins would not be forgiven if Christ had not come. The weight of sin would be an endless burden and a death sentence. If Christ had not come, there would be no Christian writings to comfort us. Neither song nor poem about the blessings of Christ would calm our fears in the storms of trials. If Christ had not come, there would be no gospel, no good news, nothing to share with the world. What is good in the message of works and condemnation? If Christ had not come without the gospel, there would be no missions programs. There would be no missionaries to bring the good news and transform lives around the world. If Christ had not come, there would be no hope of resurrection. Death would only hold fear and torment instead of rest. I don't know, one of the greatest comforts we have is that someday we'll be with Christ. Someday he's coming back for his church. Praise the Lord. But if Christ had never come, we would have no hope. If Christ had not come, most of the institutions of higher learning would not exist. Princeton, Harvard, and so many other universities were founded to educate preachers of the gospel. If Christ had not come, most hospitals would not exist. The people and institutions would not be touched by the compassion of Christ, which provokes them to help others. If Christ had not come, there would be no YMCA, Red Cross, orphanages, or thousands of other organizations who exist simply to assist those with no one to help them. There would be no one to care for the widows, no one to care for the fatherless. Would any of us really want to live in that type of world? Would anyone wish to live in a world without Christ? The change Christ made in and through the lives of believers everywhere is incalculable. Thank God Christ did come. He did this. He died, rose again, and still lives today. And one day he is coming again. What if he would not have come? I don't know about you, but it would mean that a life without any hope, a life where our only focus is on ourselves. That's not the type of world I want to live in. And I am so thankful. You say, Pastor, what's the big deal? This is what we should be celebrating at Christmas time. A celebration of the fact that he came and what our world would be like without him. Second thing, not only is the repercussions of if Christ had not come, I want you to think about the reasons why Christ came. The reasons why Christ came. The good news is he did come. But why did he come? Did he choose to leave heaven's glory? Did he choose to become a man through the virgin birth just so we could have a Christmas day? Did he choose to do this so we can put trees up in our house and decorate our houses? Did he choose to give the earth a holiday, a season where people can celebrate and overspend and overeat? Did he give us this day so we could have a few days off and have some fun in the early part of winter? I think we would all say no. And you know me, I enjoy those things. I enjoy the things that come about celebrating Christmas. But we need to understand the reasons why he came. The first reason, Jesus came to call sinners. Jesus came to call sinners. The Bible says in Luke chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, he says, "And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now here's the thing. Jesus Christ came so he could call sinners to repentance. The Bible puts it this way in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He didn't come just so we could have some type of special day of the year to recognize him, but instead treat others so well and forget about him. He came so he could call sinners to repentance. The Lord Jesus came to issue a call to the human race. This is for any and everyone. You say, Pastor, you say any and everyone. He says, but he didn't come for the righteous. The reason why he didn't call the righteous is because the righteous would never have came, because there was none that was righteous. Think about what it says in Romans chapter 3, verses 10, 12, and 23. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now here's the idea, is that we're all sinners and there is none that is righteous. And the reason why Christ came to this earth was to call sinners to repentance. Say, Pastor, why would he call a sinner to repentance? It's because of the fact that without repentance, we cannot have a right relationship with God. We need to find forgiveness. And the only way we can find forgiveness is by repenting of our sins. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So this morning, if you're here and you're unsaved and not on your way to heaven, the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ came to call sinners, which we are all sinners. And if we will repent of our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we can have a home in heaven. And we can really rejoice over Christmas, because we know the reason why Christ came. That was not the only reason why Christ came. Christ came to give his life. Jesus came to give his life, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. When this time of year, when this people are so focused on self many times, seeking their own good and their best, their own interests at heart, Jesus Christ came to this earth to serve others. He came to this earth to give himself to others. He did not come to minister, but he gave his life. He came to minister. He didn't come to get minister unto. He came to give his life a ransom for many. This is the pinnacle of serving. And if we understand this is the reason why he came, if we understand what the world would be like without him, this would give us a reason to rejoice. He didn't come for himself. He had not sinned. He was not required to die. He was not required to come, but he came to give his life. Jesus also came to bring light. He also came to bring light. The Bible says, I am come, in John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So we understand he came to call sinners to repentance. He came to give his life, but he also came to bring us light. He says he came that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If Jesus Christ never came, we would be in darkness. Imagine in a world where there would be no God, no church, no Christ, no Holy Spirit. We see how bad the world is today. Imagine if all the Christians were taken out. Imagine if all the churches, the Holy Spirit of God was taken out. This is what the preview, what the great tribulation will be like. You think about it, we live in a dark world. There are dark days spiritually in which we live. There's always this sense of impending doom. But those that come to Christ have the light of the glorious gospel. But not just the light of the glorious gospel that teaches us and shows us that the way of salvation, he also gives us light so we can have fellowship with him. The Bible says in 1 John 1:5-7, this then is the message what we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now here's the thought, that Jesus Christ not only came to call sinners to repentance and came to give his life, he came to give us the light to be able to know how to fellowship with him. We can have a right relationship with God. Have a relationship with God. We can pursue after God and seek after God and have even a deeper relationship with him. He has given us light to live by. This is the reason why he came. When we think about Christmas and we think about the shopping and we think about how to be a blessing to others, we must never forget the fact that what the world would be like if he did not come. And when we consider that and say, well, why did he come? He came because he wanted to call people to repentance. He came so that way he could provide light to us. And he came to give his own life. But it doesn't just stop there. Jesus came to give us abundant life. He didn't just come to give us eternal life and give us a home in heaven. He is saying the life that we can have here in this world is one of abundance and the idea of the blessings of God to be upon it. The Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come. Once again, Jesus came. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. There are a lot of thieves in the world, physically and spiritually. They do not have your eternal best interest at heart. There are even a lot of preachers out there that are on the TV that care nothing about your spiritual interests. You need to be careful who you're listening to and who you're taking advice from. You need to be careful what you allow into your ear gates and eye gates, because people lots of times will put this idea that they're out there to help you, but we need to look at the idea what the life that Christ is offering us. Jesus Christ is the complete opposite. He came to give us life, abundant life. It has a gift, and it's called eternal life. And the life that we can live as a believer is one that is one of peace, the one where we can always rejoice, the one knowing that Jesus Christ is with us day and night. Praise the Lord, that's an abundant life. So why did Jesus come? This is the reason why we can celebrate, isn't it? Imagine if Jesus Christ had not come, sinners would never have been called to repentance. If Jesus Christ had not come, people would not know what it means to be a sacrifice as Jesus Christ was in serving others. If Jesus Christ had not come, there would be no light to live. We would only have our conscience and the devil to give us direction in our lives. If Jesus Christ had not come, we would not have the abundant life. Instead, we would be servants of sin and servants to our flesh with no hope, no understanding of what we should do. Third thing is, we should rejoice because Jesus Christ did come. You say, Pastor, you don't understand. Christmas time is hard for us. We don't have the funds, or someone's sick, or we lost a loved one recently. You know, we can rejoice in the fact that he came. We can rejoice. Remember what we learned about last week in the book of Habakkuk? I know, the Thanksgiving sermon from the minor prophets. I understand. But remember what Habakkuk said? Habakkuk said, despite all those things that were happening in his life in chapter 3, verse 17, he says, though all those bad things happen, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. We can rejoice because of the fact that Jesus Christ came. We can rejoice in the fact that no matter what is happening in my life, you hit me with the hardest and the worst thing, I can still rejoice because of the fact I can joy in the God of my salvation. See, the world has changed because he came. Christmas is no more about decorations and gifts. It's a time to celebrate. It's a time where we can rejoice. And you think about it. You consider the Christmas story, and these are some things that we'll talk about in the future weeks. And consider the Christmas stories. These are things that really happened to the people. We like to tell the story. We like to make people understand what Mary went through and what, you know, imagine what Mary had gone through, the unexpected pregnancy. You know, facing ridicule of the townsfolk and his family. Imagining being 9 months and traveling on a donkey all the way to Bethlehem, all those miles. Imagine when you're getting there, there's no room for her. And, you know, imagine if she's in a stable having her first child. But what do you see her doing? You see her rejoicing. I mean, what does she tell Elizabeth? She says to Elizabeth, she says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. It is a praise there. You know, no matter what your circumstances, we can rejoice because he came. And Mary went through all those things. They were real, literal things. Imagine putting yourself through those things. That's what Mary went through. What did Mary do? She rejoiced. You think about Elizabeth and Zacharias. You know, all those years serving the Lord, all those years being faithful. We've looked at that passage of scripture. We saw how they were faithful, even though they did not get their prayers answered. They were still praising the Lord. He was still doing his service as a priest. He saw that they were just and they were serving the Lord. And they were rejoicing, even though they never got their prayer answered about having a child. You might say, oh, that's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal to people that can't. It is. You know what they're doing? They're rejoicing. And you see what happens when his tongue is loosed and his child is born? What do? They rejoice. Not even speaking about the shepherds who were out on the hillside and saw the angels. What did they do? They just had to go and see the baby. Then they had to go tell the whole world that Jesus Christ came. They were rejoicing. It's not only just the wise men that traveled miles and miles. And we like to think of the story, and it's really neat. They followed this star, and it probably took them a day. No, it took them months of that journey, and this caravan that probably went to there, and all the things and all those details, all the expense and all the travel that was involved. And when they got there, did they complain? Did they listen to the critics? Did they listen to Herod? Did they listen to the city when it was troubled? Did they listen to the religious men? No, they found Jesus, and what they did do? They worshiped him. They rejoiced in him because the king had came. And when they come, you know, usually when a child is born, what is he called? He's called a prince. He says, no, where is the king? Because he knew it was more than just a baby in that manger. He knew. We can rejoice because he came. And we see these different characters. You see Anna, who lost her husband many years earlier, just fasting and praying and staying in the temple. What is she doing? She's praising. You see Simeon, who was led by God. What does he do? He praises. This is the theme of Christmas in the Bible, is when we can learn how to rejoice. See, I've told you before that what we're interested in this Christmas or holiday season, including Thanksgiving, is keeping our focus right. That's the reason why we gave out those papers on Tuesday night. If you weren't here Tuesday night, our prayer and praise service, we had a different attribute or characteristic of God. And so each day you can look at something and understand something, give something in praise and thanks for it. And it's got a scripture reference with it. There might be even some on the back table if you didn't get one. So each day, they keep your focus on the right thing. Yesterday, we can be thankful because God is willing to direct our paths. We can, God is willing to show us and lead us and guide us where he wants us to go. He didn't just save us to do whatever we want. He's willing to lead you in the paths of righteousness. He's willing to take you to that path that might seem hard and tough at times, but he's willing to lead and direct and guide you exactly where you need to go. Praise the Lord for that. Today, he's talked about how we can trust in God. We can trust in him. That we have hope in him. He's not going to fail us. And I want us to get to this and understand that Christmas is a time that we can rejoice because he came. Don't miss it. It's more than just reading the Christmas story on Christmas morning. And that is a good thing. That is a good thing. Don't get me wrong there. Please do that with your family. But it's more than that. We can rejoice because he came. Last but not least, we need to realize our potential in God. Realize our potential in God. Say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, here's the thought. George Bailey, we'll go back to that. It's a Wonderful Life. George Bailey never realized what a difference he had made. The whole town was changed because of him. Do we ever realize the difference that we can make in other people's lives? One of the other challenges we gave this past Tuesday night was to find however many people you want by thinking and meditating and praying and writing out a note and a letter to them saying, I appreciate you. You know, my pastor gave us a challenge to be thankful and grateful for someone who made a difference in my life and sending that note or that letter to someone. I've already heard people talk about how God spoke into their heart and God blessed them by doing that. It's because we need to be grateful because people do make a difference in our lives. That's what our theme for this year is, making a difference. The Bible says in Jude, it says, and some have compassion, making a difference. We can make a difference in people's lives. We can have an impact in people's lives. You see these stories and these characters from the Bible. You see, because Mary chose to rejoice, because Mary chose to submit, because Mary chose to focus on God and focus on remembering, what did she made a difference. Joseph chose to obey God, and he made a difference. The wise men chose to follow the star. They made a difference because they sought after God. The shepherds, you know, we can make a difference. We can make an impact in the world we live in. Say, Pastor, where do you get that? Where do you see that? Think about your own life. Consider those who have made a good difference in your life. That's what the encouragement was. If we truly want to talk about how grateful we are to God, we can say thank you to God for those that have allowed him to use them to be a blessing to us. There's many people in my life. I went down and I was writing out a list of different people who I was just thankful for and grateful for, the people who made a difference, and I was just writing down those lists, and that list continues. The Lord keeps on bringing more people to my mind, keep on adding more people to that list, just praising him because they allowed God to do something in their lives to help impact me. They were clean, they were ready, they were holy, they were willing to read their Bible, they were willing to sacrifice, they were willing to be faithful, to be a difference maker in people's lives. The question is, are we? Do we realize the potential we have in God because he came? It's not about us. It's not about what we can do. It's about what he can do through us. So this morning, what's the big deal? What if Jesus never came? You know what? I don't want to live in a world like that. I don't want to go back and think about those days of Noah and how everything was on wickedness, evil imagination all the time, violence filled the earth. That's not something I want to be a part of. I can rejoice because he came because I know what the world would be like. I have a hint. I think the world would be much worse than it was in the days of Noah if Jesus Christ had never came right now. But I have a hint of what it would be like. I can rejoice because he came. But I can rejoice even greater because I understand why he came. He came to call sinners to repentance. He came to give his life for me, for you. He came to give us the light to show and direct us how to live. He came. He came to give us an abundant life. And because of that, I can rejoice. Are you really rejoicing today for Christmas? Are you really rejoicing that Jesus Christ came? Is this something that you are excited about? Or is it we get more excited about giving gifts to our children or making it the most we can for our family or making it the most we can for those that we love? And once again, as a part of a celebration, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but so many of us lose sight of what's the most important. We're not rejoicing in the fact he came. We're rejoicing in the fact of the day that we celebrate. I think it's important that we keep a right focus this year. In the next couple weeks, obviously next week, Brother Thurman will be preaching, but in the Sundays to follow leading up to Christmas, we're going to continue on trying to keep this idea and this focus. It is a time to rejoice. Like Habakkuk said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. No matter what the situation is, let's rejoice in the fact he was willing to come. If you're here this morning, and say, Pastor, I don't get half the things you said. I'm not a Christian. I've never accepted Jesus Christ in my heart as my personal Savior. Let me encourage you in just a few minutes. We're going to have what's called an invitation. And during that invitation time, the piano will play, the song leader will begin to sing a song, and I'll be standing right down front. And what we'd like to be able to do is take a Bible and show you once again why Jesus Christ came. He came to pay our sin debt. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he makes a call out to the whole world saying, whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. He is calling people to repentance and to a right relationship with him. And we'd love to have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can know that for yourself. But Christians, I think it'd be a great time to make a conscious decision that we're going to rejoice this season in the fact that Jesus Christ came. Number one, because we know what the world would be like without him. Because we understand why he came. And because we see that he gives us hope and purpose in the fact that we can make a difference in people's lives. Let me encourage you, keep your focus right. I know this. We gave that challenge on Tuesday night about staying focused and keeping those attributes before you and, you know, writing and being thankful. I wonder how many even took advantage of that challenge. How many people even put him first? I dare say probably not as many as needed to. Let's keep him first this year. Let's look past everything else and keep our eyes focused on him. Because that is when we will learn to rejoice. Because we're not rejoicing on what gift we got. We're not rejoicing on looking the best or what the best service was or what the best decoration was or how good the food was. We're not rejoicing in the friendships and families. We're rejoicing in the fact that Jesus Christ came. And no matter what happens this Christmas season, nothing's going to change the fact that he came. And we should be thankful for the fact he came. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. With heads bowed and eyes